Welcome to the first World Series episode of the True Blue LA podcast. That feels wonderful to say.
Playoffs?
Oh, wait, it's more than that, championship.
Oh my God, you're right. That's the one weird thing about the World Series. I find myself, if I say playoffs, I don't know if people count the World Series as the playoffs, even though it probably technically is. I always try to use postseason if I'm including like both. The playoffs and the World Series is kind of weird, but that always tripped me up for some reason.
Yeah, and the World Series always, like, excuse me, getting to the World Series always feels like more of an accomplishment than making to the finals of any other sport. Part of that has to do with how that fewer teams make the playoffs than the other sports, and part of that has to do probably just the historical nature that you technically win a league, quote unquote.
Yeah, and also, baseball's better. So.
Well, right. I don't need to get into that, though. Yeah, so, honest. Last time you and I talked, I begged you for an 11-2 win.
You were way off.
Way off.
We got so many tweets about that. It was pretty awesome. That game was, as you know, I want
four more of those.
It wasn't. Look, you're on fire right now, so you're clearly going to get what you want. But no, as far as like it wasn't a winner take all game, so there was no elimination at stake. But for a game to be put to bed that early, like it was 7-0 in the third, and Kike Hernandez hit the second of his three home runs, which was amazing. What a good, so, like, just from a, if you're from a stress standpoint, or you know, watching as a fan or whatever, that the relief was there.
So I watched all of game four, which they lost. So after that, after mostly having avoided watching due to stress levels, so I decided I am in fact a jinx. I had my phone off and my wife's phone off while we visited her grandmother for her birthday. Oh, wow. And I said, I'm not going to turn my phone on until at least an hour and a half into the game, and probably a little bit later.
Oh man.
So her great uncle is getting ready to leave, he looks at his phone, and we had talked about the game earlier, and he just looks at it and goes, the Cubs had a grand slam. And he just to put me on tilt, and I got really sad. And then he said he was just joking. And at that point it was 2-0, I think. So a little of my stress had been alleved. And then by the next time I checked, it was 9-1.
Wait, so in a way, your uncle probably made the Dodgers grand slam happen, because he tried to trick you into thinking the Cubs had hit one. So the universe was correcting itself, and they overcorrected.
Yeah.
So that's beautiful. So World Series, man, it's pretty awesome.
Weird.
Well, you're gonna be here.
So yeah, the Dodgers clinched, and a very good friend of mine, Sean, called me up and said, "Are you coming out?" And I said, "No, tickets are insane. I can't go." And he called back 2 hours later, like midnight my time, and said that his wife can't go to game two due to a work obligation, and if I wanted that ticket. And I said, "Hold on, let me check airplane tickets." And I found a fairly cheap flight. And so, yeah, I'm flying out in something like 15 hours from now. I land less than an hour before game one starts. So I'll be listening to it on the 405 on the radio with my mom. Maybe I won't actually. Her and I are both the jinxes of the family. So maybe we'll just talk. Might leave that up to her.
Yeah, have your wife's uncle, great uncle, checks you a trick score or something. Like, what? Jose Altuve hit a 5-run homer.
How's that even possible?
Yeah.
So you speaking of, so we're recording this at 12:40 my time, 10:40 Pacific. You just got back from Dodger Stadium on a non-game day. That is crazy.
Yeah, they did workouts today, and it was media day, which is something I had never really knew existed. Like, there's usually like there's day before workouts of a series and stuff, but this was like an all out like blitz, man. Like it's kind of crushing, like not crushing, just like it's overwhelming, to be honest. Like
I saw pictures, it looked like a madhouse.
Yeah. So like normally previous rounds, the Dodgers have like one interview room for most of these like pre and post game conferences, and it gets crowded during the playoffs, but it's just not big enough for the World Series. So what they did today was in the Lexus Dugout Club, which is the foofy area behind the home plate where you can go and have like filet mignon in the back at a nice restaurant, basically.
Did you?
No. I've never been in there except for like when it's open for this, but they essentially morphed it into a giant area for people to converge, and each team took turns. They had about an hour where every player on the roster, including some who won't even make the roster, I would say about 30 players each from each team were out there answering questions. They were each at their own little table, and everyone and their mother was there asking questions with TV cameras. Like Extra was there asking inane questions.
I think it's a little disappointing that it wasn't Mary Hart in there.
Right. Well,
a little entertainment tonight questions.
Yeah, she would have. She knows the answer. She doesn't need to ask these things. So, like Jimmy Kimmel's dad was there. It was a lot. It was a lot to take in, man. It's. I had, like I said, I haven't been. I went to the '88 World Series. I went to Game 2. We'll get into that a little later. But this, I had never been to the World Series since, and just seeing it this part of it, man, it's a lot to take in, you know. And it feels there's like a really kinetic like energy around there, and the games haven't even started yet, so I don't even know what it's going to be like tomorrow, man. It's gonna be crazy.
So you'll be going to hopefully just two games, right?
Yeah, so I'm gonna be covering all the home games, not traveling this round or last round, but so yeah, all the games at Dodger Stadium. So games 1 and 2, and then if necessary, games 6 and 7. So should be fun.
So what did you learn from Media Day? Obviously, it was a ruckus itself, but any actual information about the team going forward?
Yeah, so we're recording this Monday night. The game's one Tuesday. Game 1 is Tuesday. Rosters are due Tuesday morning. I mean, for the most part, it would be like a stunner if Seager's not added back on. He's basically going to start at short tomorrow, I would imagine. He's gone through, like, everything. He said all the boxes are checked off. He's done the running, the fielding grounders. I think ideally they're going to use the DH for him, I think, in the Houston games, but we'll see on that. So Charlie Culberson's probably also going to make the roster. Not probably. That's like a certainty, basically. They're going to have him sort of as a backup. So basically it's down to like who comes off the roster for Seager. And it's like you have Curtis Granderson, who's been slumping greatly, obviously. Kyle Farmer is another option if they just choose to keep the two catchers. And then the one benefit Farmer does provide as a right-handed pinch hitter, Culberson mitigates that somewhat if you add him. So it might be Farmer. And then the other option, if neither of those, it would be Jock Peterson, but he seems the least likely to be dropped, in my opinion. But we'll find out tomorrow morning. I don't think they're going to make any other big changes. I think they're going to keep the pitching staff intact. Luis Avalon, talked to him a little bit today. He was going to be added to the NLCS, but then the Seager injury kind of threw them in a loop, and they basically had to like utilize two spots when they added Culberson and Jock Peterson, because they needed another outfielder when Chris Taylor subbed in, you know, moved around. So that forced them to like remove a pitcher, and they were going to add Avalon for that spot, but didn't have the room with Seager out. So he's probably not going to be added. I think if the Yankees had won, they have more lefties. They might have needed a third lefty, but doesn't sound like he's going to be added. But I think if he would be the one they would consider adding if they did add another pitcher. But so I don't think we're going to see any surprises there. I guess Justin Turner is like another low-key thing. He didn't take batting practice the last 2 days, but I didn't get to his scrum. That was a part of me. The one thing about media day, like sometimes you can't be everywhere at once, so it's hard to get everything. But he was saying, I guess, you know, it was just more like I think the official word is banged up is what they're saying Turner is, but
technical
it doesn't. It doesn't sound like anything serious, so I don't think it's going to be a huge deal. But then again, we sort of thought that about Seager, and then all of a sudden, hey, he's off the roster. But I would be shocked if Turner's not starting and, you know, batting third tomorrow.
Okay, so other team, we're actually playing another team. It's a pretty good one. And the Houston Astros, how do you think the Dodgers line up here? What are you where do you think the advantages are? What are you worried about? How do you kind of see this shaking out?
So from one standpoint, the Dodgers are sort of going along this similar path of like, they kind of steamrolled through the previous round, whether it was the regular season, the NLDS or the NLCS. Then they wait for 4 days. They get 4 days off before their next playoff round, and then they get to line up the rotation how they want. In the previous two rounds, the other team had to wait on the other team, and then that team like sort of decimated its pitching staff a little bit by either by the schedule or by using starters in relief and then sort of leaving them at a bit of a disadvantage to start the series. Everything is true to that point for the facing the Astros, but there's an extra day off between the ALCS and the World Series, so two full days. Plus, the Astros, like, their bullpen, while it was struggling the last two games in Houston, they only used three guys in relief, and one of them is going to start one of the games in the World Series, Lance McCullers. So they're about as well rested a staff as you can get, so it's pretty even the matchup in that regard. And they have, Dallas Keuchel and Justin Verlander going 1-2. That's as good of a 1-2 punch as I think is going right now in baseball. So that's going to be the tough thing for the Dodgers. Oh, yeah, and also the Astros have the best offense in baseball. So, like, there's that little thing to worry about. But, I looked it up. Like, you know, the Astros are, like, really good top to bottom. The if you look at like wins, weighted wins, runs created plus, which, you know, adjusts for like park and league and stuff, and they hit, they were 121 as a team, which is like unheard of. I went back to like 1903 on Fangraphs, first year of the World Series. There's only three teams in since that time that had a higher team WRC plus than them, and it was all Yankees teams that had Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth on them. So, like, you're talking about like a really, really good team. The other teams that were surrounding the Astros were like the Big Red Machine in 76, Harvey's Wallbangers, the 82 Brewers, and then like I think the 2003 Red Sox were the other team, which was like a really good hitting team, and they won it all the next year. So we're pretty historically great offense, well balanced. But that said, they did not hit in the last round in the ALCS. They struggled mightily. So there's the Dodgers pitching has had very good game plan against their first two playoff opponents. They really like just held the Cubs in check majorly, and the same thing with the Diamondbacks. So there's things the Dodgers can do, I think, to sort of mitigate that offense. But it's certainly going to be their toughest test, but it should be because it's the World Series. So, you know, that's why it's going to be a pretty good series, I think. But yeah, two 200 win teams. First time we've seen that in the World Series since 1970. First time in any playoff series since like 1977, the Royals and the Yankees that year met in the ALCS. So it's going to be an awesome, awesome World Series, I think.
The other factor that's come up a lot that I just thought I'd let you weigh in on is sort of a national coverage of this is that it's if careful listeners who are listening to this loud might detect you have a fan on right now, which I usually make you turn off, and you declined saying it was too damn hot. And so that's going to be the case throughout at least the first two games in Los Angeles. Does that change anything? Both these teams come from fairly hot cities, so it's not going to be anything weird or unusual for them. But at the same time, like, do you think that makes both managers possibly even quicker to get to the bullpens, which could play to the Dodgers' advantage?
Yeah, I would imagine there's going to be one of the talking points today. People were asking about it because, like you said, it's going to be triple digits at least at some point during the day in both games one and games two, around game time, probably closer to the 90s or something. And I think if I remember right, I saw there hasn't been like a game time temperature in the World Series like over like 81 for like some like 40 something years or something. It's pretty crazy. So I think yeah, it's going to be something, but like people were kind of downplayed today. I think everyone's saying you got to hydrate and all this stuff, but we could see some, you know, more home runs in that regard. But it's funny, like someone asked Dallas Keuchel if it was going to be so hot that he wanted to shave his beard, and he was like, no, not really. But Kershaw, I'm trying to find the quote from Kershaw here. He said, I don't think it's going to change anything. By 5 o'clock, the sun will be down. Actually, and you know, we always talk about shadows, sidebar here. I was on the field, during the workout today and like right around 5:20. So basically like the bottom of the first inning or something probably. And there were like no shadows. So it was, the lights were on and it looked, it was kind of almost nightish, you know, not quite, but there, I don't think shadows are going to be that big of an issue. So back to Chris, he said, they're from Houston. I'm from Texas. It's going to be hot for everybody. We're all used to it. We'll be fine. So everyone was kind of downplaying a little bit, but yeah, it's going to be, that's going to be a story. I was going to bring an extra shirt just in case, cause I sweat a lot. So, I'll definitely bring a towel at the very least. It'll be, to quote Rob Thomas, it's going to be a hot one. So,
you and I, no episode between games one and two. I'll be traveling and doing all that crazy stuff. Probably a game between, or a game, an episode between games two and three. So let's look at games one and two a little bit more in depth. You hinted at it. It'll be the guy named Dallas who plays for Houston and the guy from Dallas who plays for Los Angeles going at it. Two excellent left-handers. Obviously, you still think the Dodgers have to have the edge with Clayton Kershaw. Someone pointed out to me that Dallas Keuchel's road splits are, you know, something if the Dodgers, if you like me, you're a Dodger fan who is really, really nervous and you want something to hang your hat on, his ERA, I think, was like a 0.3, 0.4 or so higher on the road than at home. Who knows how much that'll play into the factor in the playoffs. The Astros themselves only won one game on the road, so far this playoffs, and... So yeah, a couple things I'm trying to gear myself and get excited for, and try not to be too worried about that very, very scary lineup.
Yeah, and then I will try not to bring you down by letting you know that the Astros also tied for the best road record in baseball during the regular season with 53 wins. But and they also scored 501 runs on the road over six a game, kind of crazy. But no. Keuchel's last start, if you look at that, he had dominated the Yankees pretty much in his playoff career, or just his career in general, and they got him pretty good in his last start. It wasn't bad, really bad, but like that was, you know, something. He's not, impermeable or whatever. So, no, I think you probably have to favor the Dodgers in that matchup, but then the way Justin Verlander's throwing, you probably have to favor the Astros in the game too, but you never know. Rich Hill's been throwing well as well, and like you said, these games are going to come down to could be closely matched games for like four or five innings, and then it's just a matter of who gets into the bullpen first and which bullpen can be more effective. And as of late, that the Dodgers have had a great advantage there, so I think if they can just sort of do that, you know, keep spoiling close pitches, taking balls, making the pitchers work, getting their pitch counts up. That's how they're going to sort of, win. It's going to be, I know it's more cliche and stuff, but the grind or whatever you want to call it, you want to get those pitchers churning out pitches and keep that going.
Yeah, you mentioned in game two is a game I'll be attending, and I'm both excited that I get to see such a cool pitching matchup, but also like, oh, geez. Verlander has looked absolutely lights out. I will be hoping for, you know, the baseball fan just wants a great pitching matchup, like a 1-0, 2-1, 3-1 win for the Dodgers. The Dodger fan in me wants him to revert to early half forms. The guy that when the Astros did trade for him, people were going, I don't know, this, you know, it's fine to take a flyer, but how good is he going to be before he, you know, won? I think he was like 20-0, 40-0, something like that since the trade. So
yeah, he's a 1,000,000,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, I looked it up. were you at the Vicente Padilla and Pedro Martinez game in 2009?
I was not.
That was an epic pitcher's duel. Like it was a day game, and then the Dodgers ended up winning that game in the eighth, I believe, after Pedro was done after seven. But
is that the Matt Holliday game?
No, it was the next series. Okay. So they had swept the Cardinals. The Matt Holliday game was game two of that NLDS. That's right. This was game two of the NLCS against the Phillies. Then it ended up being the one game the Dodgers won in the series, but we don't need to talk about that. That was an excellent pitcher duel, and you have one sort of unheralded, in some respects, one unheralded pitcher against a future Hall of Famer in that game. And so I think you have the same sort of thing. Rich Hill, a little more bona fides than Vicente Padilla, but
just in general has looked way better than Padilla sure. really ever did.
However, I think we all seen Vicente Padilla as an opening day start. The last opening day starter not named Clayton Kershaw for the Dodgers, so pretty clearly dominant. And he always unbuttoned one extra button on his shirt, so it was solid. So
you before we get to your 1988 series, anything else you want to mention about the series? Things you're excited about, things you're nervous about?
I think I'm just nervous in general because, just like I said, it's there's a lot of energy, man. It's weird. And I haven't been to a World Series in 29 years, so I'm really looking forward to it. But I know it's going to be fun, but it's going to be the good kind of nervous. It's not like anything bad. It's just there's a lot of there's a buzz surrounding it, so it's pretty cool.
It's definitely a different kind of nerves than I felt in all of these NLCSs that the Dodgers had previously lost, where it's sort of the monkey on the back factor. Like I was so sick of not making the World Series, but it's not far off. I'm still really really want this win, and people who know me should know I'm a fairly dispassionate sports fan. I don't get mad. I don't get too happy over wins. I just enjoy the game for what it is and take it in stride. And that is basically only different in baseball playoffs. And I just become a wreck. So
and then you turn over Vans during championships.
not
set
quite
on fire. Yeah, classic arsonist.
I guess one last question for you, and then I'll let you tell your story because I'm so kind. And it's my podcast. I rule the roost.
Look, you guessed 11-2 in an 11-1 game, so you can do whatever you want at this point.
When you were talking to the players and were watching the workouts and batting practice, you mentioned the energy. Did they how was the team taking it? Did they seem affected by it? Are they just ready to go?
Yeah, that's a good question. They seem like ready to go. Like, there's like this weird, like, I don't know, Clayton Kershaw can be kind of like, I don't know what the right word is, sometimes short with the, you know, in like either pre or post game, like depending on how his day went, but like just in the lead up for some of these, like he seems like more like at peace. I don't know if that's the right word. He looked very, very happy to win the pennant. And they know it's not their end goal, I would say, but, I would say there's like a calm, to them where it's not like, hey, it's not like a relaxing thing, but it's more like, we know we're pretty good. And we're sort of relying on that. And we know we have a job to do. So they seem kind of, I think ready. They seem ready for it. I think that's probably a testament to like Dave Roberts and just how he sort of preaches that attitude probably most of the year. But yeah, I don't know. It seemed pretty, they didn't seem too like affected or overwhelmed by it, but, I just think more excited than anything. Cause they haven't played for now, 4 days. So they're probably just as anxious to play as we are to sort of watch.
All right, so 1988, I was 2 years old. Tell me, what were you doing?
Okay, so I was 12, and that year, my brother Kelly, he got a strip of 4 tickets for every playoff game. Back then, it was just 2 rounds, NLCS and World Series. So, and the way the home field advantage worked, it is alternated by division or league. And that year happened to be the NL West year and the NL year in the World Series. So the Dodgers, who are a good team, they won 94 games. They played a 100-win Mets team in the NLCS, had home field advantage. They played a 104-win A's team and had home field advantage. So, hey, look at that. So game one, October 15th, 1988, my brother had tickets. But my sister, I have 2 sisters, one that year, well, one was already 30 the year before. The other was turning 30 on November 2nd. Mind you, this is October 15th. So the older sister decides we're going to do a surprise party. And you can't have it that close to the date, otherwise it would ruin the surprise. So we had a 17-day early surprise 30th birthday party for my sister, which happened to be on October 15th, 1988. So my brother, he sold, or like, I think the tickets, like, I think people he worked with, one couple was a friend, and the other was someone he worked with, I think. So he did not go to game one. I knew I was going to go to one of the games at some point, but I just didn't know which game. It may have been that game, I'm not sure. But the point was, didn't go to game one. We were at my sister's party. There was silly string involved. when she got to the door, like, we didn't even get to do the proper surprise because everyone sprayed her with silly string. So, like, she didn't even get to properly come in the door. It was kind of funny. Anyway, later that night, we're all watching the game at the apartment. And me being 12, not really paying attention much to the party, I was watching the game. So, and I just remember on the screen, the graphic said, Kirk Gibson, postseason career, 6 home runs, 19 RBIs. And I was like, well, it's going to be 7-21 because, you know, because I'm an idiot. And I always say stuff like that. So I just remember when he hit it, I actually never saw the ball go out. I knew as soon as he hit it, I knew it was gone. And we just started, like, going nuts, like jumping up and down. And mind you, my sister lived in a second-story apartment at the time. And at some point, actually, I asked her about this because the cops were called, but I think it was more the downstairs neighbor was just more anal and kind of a jerk than anything, because we weren't like super loud or anything. But anyway, that was a great night, and ended up going to game two the next night. So with my brother, his wife, and her mom, his wife's mom. So that was a super fun game. Oral Hershiser shut out the A's. It was 6-0. He only allowed 3 hits, all to Dave Parker. And Hershiser got 3 hits by himself, so that cancels it out. So he basically threw a no-hitter. coolest like thing I've ever sort of been to as a sports fan, I think. So that was, and I get tomorrow's going to be my first World Series game since then. So it's been a long, long time. Looking forward to it, but yeah, that's my '88 story.
So how have you learned at this point? Do you think the World Series will change the sort of the unspoken rule, or somewhat loudly spoken rule, at the press box of no cheering? Can you do this? Can you handle this?
Yeah, that's okay. I don't think that's going to be a problem. There's
I couldn't. I'll let you know right now.
Yeah. Like there's always like I find myself like just finding something to do, or like for instance Justin Turner's home run. Like, I was frantically trying to, like, finish up the, that inning as it's building. You're like, well, this is going to be a walk-off. So I'm, like, writing my recap, trying to finish it, or just get it ready for if something happens. And he hits it, like, and I'm like, oh, that's a chance. But I, like, in my head, I don't know if I forgot there was 2 outs because it seemed inevitable that was going to end the game. But then I was like, well, if it's 2 outs and he catches it, it's not ending the game. But then the crowd just got louder and the energy built, and I didn't fully see it. So I didn't see that go out live either, like, but you could feel it go out because the stadium was so loud. So you just sort of like, you just, I don't know, man, like, I guess Vin Scully probably taught us this
sure.
Just by just letting the moment happen. And so like, and I watch a lot of things if I'm home, if I'm by myself or whatever. So, I don't have that initial, what I'll do sometimes is if I have an involuntary reaction or something, I do end up saying like, wow, a lot, or like out loud, or sometimes, holy shit, you know, so just like it's an involuntary thing, but it's not like it's just more like, wow, that was a good play or something. I'll do that. But other than that, pretty stoic, otherwise. So it's pretty fun.
I know the 12 and you will be a 12-year-old and you will be jumping up and down when the Dodgers win. I don't want to pick a score. 9-3, game one.
So. Wow, all right. It's been written, folks.
Okay. I don't know if I'm going to be able to sleep either of these two nights. I will be showing up game two. I'm going to show up when the gates open, 2 p.m. You tweeted a bunch of food niceties that will be at the World Series. Dodgers PR follow up with even more items that you didn't cover, including a Moscow Mule that comes in a L.A. copper mug. So yeah. I will be seeking one of those when I get.
That's a souvenir thing. I picked and chose like the ones I tweeted out. Like there was a lot of speaking of overwhelming, that email that had all the food stuff. There's a lot of stuff in there, man.
There is. No, it's huge. I'm excited.
The Blue Heaven ice cream donut sandwich. It looks like diabetes in a helmet, but it looks pretty amazing. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff. The Wagyu beef burger is like a double cheeseburger with bacon. It looked amazing. The picture looked great. So I don't know. It's going to be awesome.
Well, I'm going to let this nervous tension kind of fade us out. We'll be back on doing math Thursday evening, I believe, to record another episode. I will actually be watching the two Houston games in Arizona, of all places.
Whoa.
So
you're kind of splitting the difference,
yeah.
as it were.
So we may or may not be able to do episodes for those, but hopefully we wouldn't need to, and we can do a nice little end of the season celebration episode.
Oh man, all of a sudden it's free agency. I was joking with Grant Brisby, who is in town. He's covering the World Series for SB Nation as well. So I was talking to him today, and we were talking about just how, in general, like the how both years go, because you you don't always get this far, and obviously the Dodgers haven't been to the World Series in 29 years. My general plan for the off season is by now we have time to prepare for it, because there's like end of season and then. Free agency starts after the World Series. Now it's like with the Dodgers going this far, it's like I've been so caught up on the games, like all of a sudden when the World Series ends, like, oh man, the off season's here. And it's like, so apologies if anything comes out late as the in terms of off season stuff, but man, it's going to be, it really hits you like a Mack truck at the end of the year. So yeah, but no, we wouldn't have it any other way. It's really fun to, like you said, the energy is awesome. It's not like it's not bad or anything. It just feels like pretty great. So I'm looking forward to it. The first two games are going to be awesome. Yeah, and I'm glad you get to come out to see that World Series. So it's going to be good. And thanks for listening, everybody. We will talk to you in a few days.